This meeting is now being recorded.
Okay, welcome. This is the Technical Study Group on Access to Non-Public Registration Data, the PSG Group. Today is Tuesday, April 9th at 1600 UTC. We are in our final telephonic session prior to our final meeting next week. We are here to discuss the state of the document and what's left to be done. I think the first thing perhaps to do here is to bring up or direct people's attention to the action items tracker that Gavin has put together. I'll post the link here in the chat. And Gavin, perhaps we just go through what's there and just ask folks what the status is on each of these items. So start with, what do you say, Gavin? Do you think that works?
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea to me.
Okay, good. So let's start with system requirements. Andy?
Yeah, I'm actually busy going through and updating what I did yesterday. I reviewed that yesterday. I added some text. Let me actually pull up the document itself. That would be useful as well. And all right, so I added in the systems requirements section, there's a leading paragraph there, which I guess I should highlight and add for a comment here, which I'll do right now. If anyone wants to review it. So there's that. And the only other thing I went through yesterday, and I see Jody has added something there, is there's a once authorized data is provided via this interface rather than via RDAP, and I'm like, no, that doesn't sound correct to me. They would have an opportunity to use that interface if they want to, but if they have an access token or an ID token, there's nothing stopping them from using the using RDAP. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks, Andy. Tobafumi and Jody, any comments?
Nothing from my side.
I guess my comment on 2C, I think, is what you brought up. Can you guys hear me? Just making sure.
I can hear you.
Okay. On 2C, once authorized data is provided via this interface rather than via RDAP, but it could be, it still could be done by this web interface, correct?
Oh, yeah. I wasn't saying that if ICANN wants to create an RDAP, web-based RDAP client, more power to them. But for people who have their own tooling, even if it's an exceptional case, they should be allowed to use that.
If they get a token back. So if they come into the web portal, they make a request, and they get a token back. I'm just trying to work through the ins and outs, Andy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if they come into the web portal and it's approved, right, they put in whatever their justification is, and it's approved, they could be presented with, the web portal could give them an option. Do you want to just, get the information now using the web portal, or do you want to use your own tooling? And if so, it would give them their tokens, which would be one-time use tokens.
I think I'd be fine with that. I mean, that sounds good to me. So, I mean, I think we could replace this sentence then.
Okay. I'll work on some of
it. Why don't we do it? Do you have text to replace now?
Let me work on that. I'm going to put that as an action item for me to do. Because it's a little more, what we're describing is a little more than just deleting that sentence.
Right.
At least that's what I feel. All right, so hold on. I'm writing this down. So I think that's really. Okay. I think that's really it in the systems requirements section.
I had a question, Andy. The very first sentence, in the preamble, you're saying the system requirements dictate function and features of the technical model. What are you trying to actually say there?
So the requirements were how we based which technology to pick. And so in essence, we're saying, well, the system has to have an ability to pass attributes, like this is an example, has to have an ability to pass attributes from one actor in the model to another actor. It doesn't say operationally that's what's going to happen. It's just that the technology has to be able to do that. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Feels to me like this paragraph needs a bit of copy editing to make sure that the message comes through, because I think there are three sentences, but when I finish reading the third sentence, I'm automatically required to go back and read the first sentence again.
Well, I always write prose that makes people think.
You and Joseph Conrad.
I'm open to suggestions.
Why don't we get Eliza to take on the? Sorry, I don't mean to insult you. Conrad is actually a good writer. Why don't we get Eliza to ask the comms team to do a little, you know, copy edit, etc. on this, so you know we convert it into into different prose potentially.
That works for me.
All right. Why don't we go to the next piece? Any other comments on system requirements? Okay, I hear none. Thanks, others, for joining in. We're going through the action tracker, and we're walking through each of the items and asking the owner to provide an update as well as the reviewers. Next is Steve on assumptions, relabeling, and adjusting.
Oh, I can be very quick about that. I sincerely apologize. It remains on my queue to do.
Okay. Do we have an ETA?
I had really wanted to do it prior to this call. Let me say close the business Thursday.
All right. Gavin, does that give you enough time to provide a bit of a review before we come in next Monday?
Yeah, definitely. No problem.
Okay, got it. And Steve, I'm assuming it's the same status for logging as well, right?
Yes.
Okay. And if you need help from anybody, just, shout out now.
No.
Okay, Scott, proposed solutions.
Yeah, I think that the text we have there is ready for review.
All right, so then let's go to Jorge. Jorge on the call. Don't see Jorge on the call. All right, who has some time to review Scott's section of proposed solution?
So, Ron and Andy, I believe I reviewed the entire document yesterday, and I'm scrolling down to that section to see if I had any comments, but I think in essence, yeah, so I did make one comment on the optionally in there in section 9.x. We do need some cleanup of just the section markers themselves. Mm-hmm. And then I did comment about things as RDAP gateway description. That to me seems there's something not right there.
Okay, let's take this one at a time. So on 9.x, you highlighted optionally.
Yeah, it was just an add. If people don't like it, I'd take it away. But
Scott, do you have a problem with optionally?
No, we're talking about two different ways of accessing the data with the choice of, the one is somewhat a function of discretion, so optionally sounds fine.
Okay, done. Great. Web portal description,
Gavin. This is Gavin, sorry. On this option meeting, so the section below, as you can see, I've filled out today, and I've got a question in bold that I wanted to bring to the group, but then Andy pretty much solved it for me when we were talking about the previous section. We obviously don't want any of this stuff to be storing non-public registration data, and so a web-based portal, if the non-public registration data was just posted onto a ticket on the web-based portal, and that would defeat that requirement that it not store non-public data. And so it occurred to me that the solution would be for the web portals to generate a single use URL that redirect the user to the RDAP gateway, and then their browser would send the RDAP query to the RDAP access server. So that would therefore mean that the completion of requests for non-public registration data would not be done through the web portal. And so therefore I think actually it should be the case that the web portal should not complete requests for non-public registration data. And that section there which the word optionally includes, I think actually needs to be removed. That was that clause of that sentence. So I would suggest that it changes.
Yeah, Gavin, Gavin, are you drawing a distinction between the web portal that does the escalation of requests and the triage of requests versus a separate RDAP, web-based RDAP client that ICANN would run? I'm not talking about the gateway, I'm talking about an RDAP client.
Gavin, did you hear the question?
Yes, but I was on mute. I apologize. So the web portal is the system that allows that sits in parallel to the RDAP gateway, and is used to handle requests which cannot be pre-authorized and have to be manually vetted on a case-by-case basis. So, if we want to preserve the requirement that system not store non-public registration data, which I think is a good one, we don't want the system to work in such a way that the request is submitted, manually reviewed. If it's approved, we don't want the person sitting in ICANN's offices going off to the contracted party server, getting the non-public registration data and posting it as an update to a support ticket or a support case, because then it gets stored inside the support system or that web portal system. So my thought was therefore that what would happen is that once the case has been approved, the web portal could then generate a URL that would take the requester to the RDAP or a web client that talks to the RDAP access gateway with a single use URL, like a token that expires once it's used. That then, in a transient way, transmits the non-public registration data to the requester.
Okay, I see the point you're trying to make. I think previously we were kind of melding the two functions into the web portal, but I see the point you're trying to make in that you don't want a staff member getting the information in a ticketing system and then just putting it in there, which is that's a good catch. And, so maybe we do need to draw a distinction between a web portal and an RDAP web client. And I like the solution you have there too.
Thank you, Andy. So I just to go back, I do feel that the sentence in the first part of section 9, which includes that word optionally, does need some reworking if we're going to have a model where, the requests are not completed through the web portal.
Yeah, so I kind of feel that we need to go back into the other sections and actually explicitly state that there's going to be a web-based RDAP client. That would make things clearer.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
So I'll tell you what I'll volunteer to go back and massage that and try to put that in where necessary, okay?
Thanks, Andy. I just changed the comment from have to reword to Andy to reword.
I'm happy to review that as well.
Okay, got it. And I think, Gavin, that covers the section you've written and the comment that you have there. Let's go to the next piece, which is the RDAP gateway description. Andy, you have a comment there about this does not seem correct.
Yeah, so it says that the mechanism between the RDAP client and the RDAP, that says proxy, but we mean gateway there, will be based on either OpenID and OAuth 2.0, or it's that last part of the sentence, or digital certificate at the mutual choice of the identity provider and the client. And I think it's that last part that I'm having a problem with. I didn't realize we were going to do they should be using digital certificates to just encrypt the channel, but I didn't realize we were using that for authentication as well.
So Scott here.
Did you want to? Yeah.
Yeah, I think Andy's actually correct here. If you go back and look at the internet draft that talks about mutual TLS here, it's really about the TLS connections between between the actors here, like between the relying party and the identity provider. So it's not so much about, you know, a certificate for the client. This probably needs to be reworded.
Can we just remove that part of the sentence that begins with or digital certificate?
Yeah, I mean that would solve the problem there. And then we have to say instead of using either shared secrets.
So Scott, you've got the pen on this. You have the comment. You make the change.
Done.
And Andy, with that, is the comment resolved?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. We have to say gateway instead of proxy here.
Yeah, that's an editorial comment, though. So.
Do you use gateway with an uppercase G?
I believe that's what we're doing, yes.
There we go.
Okay, good. Next paragraph, Andy.
So this that we're doing mutual TLS, which I agree with, we're doing that between ICANN and the contracted parties. It's this, and also between subsystems. And I was just like, okay, what are we talking about here? It may be, and I believe in the interaction model that we may be using it for doing, talking to third party authorizers, but it's not, and that's just a maybe. I'm actually unclear myself if we're doing that. But I just don't know what other subsystems we're talking about.
Andy, yes, so Scott here again. As I mentioned a moment ago, that mutual TLS draft that's floating through the OAuth working group describes the possibility of doing this in, like, the relying party to identity provider interaction. But it's optional. So, well, if you say it also between subsystems, would it be helpful to say, like, and optionally between, like, the relying party and identity provider?
Yeah, that would be better, yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good to me, too.
Like that?
Yes, that works.
All right. Yeah, thank you, Rami, for you fix that eye. Thank you.
Okay, 9.1, Andy.
My comment was.
I guess you didn't get me.
I'll come back to you, John.
I had my hand raised. This is Francisco.
Francisco, okay. Francisco, go right ahead.
Yeah, so why optionally? I missed that part. Why? The whole point is to secure all the communications between the subsystems. It's not using media TLS, then how it's going to be secure?
So Francisco, you're saying it should not be optionally, it should say mandatorily?
Yes, or just drop the word optionally from there.
What? I'm a little confused. Where are we again?
We're back to the prior paragraph. And in that paragraph, the first sentence says, mutual TLS authentication will be used to secure RDAP communications between ICANN and the contracting parties, and optionally between the relying party and that entity provider. And Francisco is asserting you don't need optionally. It's a must.
I don't know if that's correct.
Well, it's optional from an OAuth perspective. And I do worry a little bit that the software systems that implement this stuff, you know, may or may not support this particular feature. It's, as I said, it is not a must from an OAuth perspective.
And even for, this is Tom for me, even for a recommendations perspective, I think the ID password and that mutual TLS thing is an option too.
Tomofumi, this is not about the users. This is about the subsystems so that they are, they have secure communication. So if you don't secure this with mutual TLS, then how do you secure the communication with their line, the, identity providers and the third party authenticators?
It could just be normal TLS.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. You added the reliant party. The reliant party is ICANN, not the user, right? You don't want those are the different components of the system, the ICANN gateway, the identity provider, the third-party authorizers. Don't we want those to talk securely among them?
Francisco, Scott here. We may want them to, but if the OAuth implementation on one side or the other does not support this feature, it's going to be very difficult to mandate it.
So there will be no secure communication between the...
They are using TLS.
Right. That's one way. Unless you make it two-way, which is what we are saying here.
Could we identify it as a should in some way? We don't do it must.
So I think we're trying to draw a distinction between TLS and mutual TLS, right? And where in mutual TLS, we're talking about an authentication using the TLS layer versus just using TLS for securing the channel. And I think the OAuth says you have to use TLS for securing the channel already. That's already a given. It's a matter of doing mutual TLS. Or am I misreading that?
No, you're reading it correctly, Andy.
Francisco, do you still have a question, concern about this?
Well, I'm not clear how we are going to secure the communication if there is no mutual authentication. But I don't have another suggestion.
So you have an objection, but you don't have a new suggestion.
Yeah, the suggestion is Mucha TLS, but I don't have another suggestion other than that. I understand what
Well, I think what we're doing here, Francisco, is we're staying true to what the spec says. And you know, if you want to have your point added, then maybe you have to write something in parentheses that says that the TSG would expect that RDAP communications between the relying party and identity providers would also be secured via mutual TLS. You could write that as that's what we expect rather than saying that's what will be done.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Can we change optionally to preferably?
Yeah, I think that would work.
That works.
All right, Scott, you got the pen.
There we go.
Are you good with that? Okay. John, let's go to you just for a brief minute before we come back to Andy on Gavin's section up above, because Gavin is saying he might leave here shortly. So let's make sure that your question comes up.
Yeah, so the only question was whether we prefer single-use URLs over a limited time. I'm just seeing a user experience where, you know, these are not people that are used to doing this. That's the whole point of them going through the other system. And then they go to the URL and, you know, it's not like they just need it for that second. They probably need to make a copy for evidence or for something. And they don't realize that it's not going to be there again. And then they have to go back through the whole system. So we have to have some mechanism, and it could just be in the policy side of how these tickets get handled, but we have to have some mechanism for allowing to look at that data more than just one time.
Thanks, John. Yeah, I you're right. I agree. I don't think my intention was to use like one click and then you can't access it anymore. It was more except that we probably need to put some constraints around it. One of the things I was thinking was that rather than displaying it in the web page, the link might take them to something that just downloads a PDF or something. That's the sort of thing that can be worked on, and I'm happy to make amendments based on that feedback.
Okay. Excellent.
All right. Back to you, Andy. We're on 9.1.
So I think my last comment just happened here. I think my last comment in this section was just that that paragraph to me seems a little redundant, but it's not a big deal.
Scott, do you have any comment on this? I mean, Andy's giving you an optional change, maybe preferable change even, but
The actor model section describes who the actors are, and the intention of this text was to note that there are things that they must do, like, you know, prior to certain things happening. So again, Andy, if you look at the actor models section, I mean, is there one of those four paragraphs that describes, the what and when, as opposed to just the who?
Yeah, I mean, the actor model section does go through and describe that. If you feel, honestly, this was just food for thought. If you feel that this paragraph it does more than what the actor model section is, then let's just leave it.
Okay, let's leave it for now. You maybe noodle on it for a few more days. We're going to be seeing each other again on Monday and Tuesday. My mind might be changeable.
Okay.
That's a relief. Any other comments on Section 9? On proposed solution? Anybody else? All right. On proposed solutions, we have Jorge there. Andy's already looked at this, but can we explicitly add Murray to the reviewer list on proposed solution?
Yeah, he's not here. Let's give him all kinds of action items.
Murray is on the call, so.
Oops.
I heard that.
Okay, so Elisa, if you'll take an action to update the action items tracker for proposed solution. Other considerations, Jody, you've done a bit of review. I think Gavin has already written the text. Jody, did you want to go through your thoughts? Andy has some comments as well. Jody, if you're speaking, can't hear you.
I wasn't speaking yet. I don't think I've gotten through the other considerations. Are you talking about 10?
Yes.
No? Yeah, I haven't gotten completely through those yet. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's fine. You and I are in the same boat on that one. Andy has some comments. So, Andy, do you want to go through them while Gavin is still on the line? 10.1?
Yeah. So, it was actually, these weren't comments. These were edits that I was asked to make on the previous call. So I tried to be as surgical as possible, also with a little moment of not exactly remembering what I agreed to have done. So, hopefully, I got it right for both the metadata. And then also talking about data retention of the requesters. Data retention of the domain registrant data. So hopefully I got that right. And so I just put the comments there for need for review so people will know that it's been changed and it's kind of like a diff for them.
Okay, so then what we should do is turn to Gavin and see if he's got any comments on the edits, and if Gavin is okay, then we can resolve these. So, Gavin, can we go to you and look at 10.1?
Yeah, I reviewed these changes and I'm happy with them. I think they achieve the required outcome.
You'll find that all of the changes in Section 10 from Andy.
I think there's only one other, which is just a editorial one about the proxy. So, yeah, but the two changes in 10.1 I'm fine with.
Okay, got it. Thank you. Let's go to 10.5. Benedict has edited. Did you want to speak to this, Benedict?
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Great. Yeah, I'm... So, and again, sorry, I'm working in a cafe today, so apologies for the background noise. Just rereading it because it's been a while. We haven't really made a recommendation here. We've just said some contracted parties will want to notify their data subjects. Nothing prohibits this, but... hang on, somebody's changed it again. I had altered this. Has somebody fiddled with it? It's and semicolon and provides a mechanism. That's a bit. That's gone a bit funky. I've basically said that contracted parties may want to tell data subjects that their personal information has been disclosed, but that law enforcement won't want that to happen. That's there's tension there. We don't have to resolve that tension, but we need to call it out.
Yeah, that sentence is clunky, and the semicolon is misplaced.
Hmm.
Okay. Will you take it as an action, Benedict, to look at that sentence to make sure that the intent shines through?
I'd fixed that first sentence, but I agree the second sentence is clunky. Okay, let me take a look at that. Cheers.
Okay. Great, thank you. Then Gavin, I think you wrote the text in 10, extra text in 10.7, and you're asking for review, right? Data subjects may also wish to submit complaints, etc.
Yeah, that's correct. So this was something that we talked about in the previous call, and I'm trying to remember whether we... Sorry, I'm just going back through the issue tracker, whether there was another any action coming from that. No, I think actually this reviewed on the previous call. I think there was generally happy that general consensus that it was probably okay, but maybe we should ask for just confirmation on this call.
Gavin, the only problem I had was with the second sentence there. It kind of seemed to be a bit more labored than necessary. So that's just a copy edit thing, and I
okay.
think we should simply refer it to Elisa to work on.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate that. One thing that occurred to me when I wrote that sentence was. That obviously the way that ICANN community makes policy means that it's not a simple question of we've received feedback, we have to change things. So I don't know if we need to be a bit more careful about how we distinguish between the ICANN org policy and ICANN community policy.
Right. I think in this case we'll have to say something like amending the operational policies or something like that, rather than, community policies.
Yeah, I think that sounds right. Yes, qualifying it by saying operational policies or something like that.
Or implementation. In the past, ICANN is, the org has made a distinction between implementation versus policy. So something to that effect ought to be reflected here, Elisa.
This is John. I mean, I think if you drop the it, I think you're in a better position.
Yeah, that's a very simple change that would, yeah.
Because we don't know which policies they are at this moment, right? They could be operational, but they could also be out in the community.
You're right, John, but I think the point that Gavin is making was where it is operational, we don't want that to be subjected to a community policymaking process.
I don't want
it to be subjected to that.
No, but I think if you removed it, that it allows for both cases where it is, that, you know, it doesn't tie you either way.
I hear you.
This is Aliza. What if you just, what if we just dropped everything after after complaint? Rather than trying to distinguish which policies are trying to make that clear.
Yeah,
so the
that would be
fine.
The key
point here is actually being that able to respond to complaints.
You okay with that, Gavin?
Yeah, absolutely fine with that.
Okay. So, Aliza, you have the pen on that. All right. And then 10.8, again, Gavin, is a... 10.8 is you've written it and you want to, that to be reviewed, right?
Yes. So, and we covered, again, we talked about this in the last call. On the preceding call, Benedict talked a little bit about differential privacy. And I said that I would try and address that in this section. But I wanted to raise it for but because Benedict wasn't around, I didn't really feel like we could resolve it without him being around. I have a serious issue with the idea of masking the true target of a requester's interest by spamming the system with requests for other people, for other targets' information. But I didn't feel like I had a full enough understanding of this idea of differential privacy and how it might be implemented by a requester using the system we've designed. My personal feeling is I'm uncomfortable with the idea of even talking about it, and would prefer to remove this altogether, but obviously wanted to talk to Benedict a bit more about this particular subject before going ahead and doing that.
I'm here.
Yes. So we talked again about differential privacy, where if someone doesn't want an eavesdropper to know what they're interested in, they generate traffic where which is statistically indistinguishable or statistically similar. And which kind of hides the true traffic inside it, almost like a steganographic technique. My concern was that in the context of a non-public registration data access system, that would necessarily require a requester submitting data for subjects that it has no legitimate reason to have to request that data for, and therefore I don't know how we would be able to distinguish it from abuse. And we want to take steps to prevent it from happening. But obviously, as I say, I don't feel like I know this well enough to be able to say with certainty that I think that this should not be discussed. So I wanted to get your thoughts on it.
My feeling is that if somebody makes one request and masks it with seven or eight requests, which is the sort of minimal ratio that I've read about for differential privacy, that wouldn't be a problem as a one-off, but it might be a problem if somebody's making 100,000 requests and masks it with 700,000 or 800,000 requests. So it's a sort of matter of scale rather than an absolute problem with differential privacy.
This is John, I'm going to disagree with that, because if that data is yours that is being taken without the reasoning, then I think it's a problem. I don't think it matters if it's one request that has no legitimate reason or 1,000. It's just as bad.
Thank you. depends if it's legit registrant dating app.
So, Gavin, this paragraph, the bit that bothers me about it is the specifics of the differential privacy part, the example. The idea that there might be techniques that people use and that they might cause policy issues, I think is good. But I think the that particular mechanism is very problematic for all the reasons that you state.
Yeah, I think I agree with you that it's problematic. The question is how do we have to allow for a policy environment where the identity of requesters is not something that is kept, then the requesters don't have any privacy. So, given the fact that that's a possible outcome, how do we address the likely? If the policy outcome is that they have no privacy, then it's just bad luck for them that they can't hide their request. But that will then prompt them to try and do sneaky things like differential privacy. So the question has to be, at what point does that become abuse? And my personal feeling is that anything like that is abuse. But that's a matter of policy, is to decide what is and isn't abuse.
Gavin, that we park this topic for now, because it seems like we need to have more exchange of information amongst ourselves, and it's probably best suited for our face-to-face next week.
Yeah, absolutely agree.
Okay.
Just on that one,
you're going to be there in person as well.
I'm afraid I'm I can't justify it on the environmental grounds. So but I'm going to dial in. It's pretty nuts to fly that distance for a 2-day meeting. So I'm going to call in. But yeah, I've been radicalized. But I'll be there on the telephone.
Okay, you got it. Thank you. I'm aware that we have about 10 minutes in here, left for this call to be done is what I mean. Instead of going through the rest of this, because, you know, we could spend the 10 minutes easily on just one section, what I want to do instead is to focus on all the sections that have no specific reviewers identified, and I want to ask for reviewers of that section. So, Yvette, if you could bring up the action items tracker on the screen. Thank you. And if you could, you can lose column A and show us just B, C, D, E. Thank you very much. Okay, so the first one, systems requirements, still has Jody Tomofumi on it. The second one, assumptions, relabeling, adjusting, has Gavin as reviewer. Logging, who wants to be a reviewer?
I can take that.
All right, that's Gavin. Next, other considerations, Jorge and Murray, that's already there. Proposed solution, is Jorge and Murray. Other considerations, Jody and me. FAQ is Benedict. Do we want to have anybody else on FAQ?
I can review that too, the FAQ.
Thank you.
This is Jody.
Okay, so that's Jody and Ram on FAQ. Executive summary review, put my name on it.
Yeah, and Ram, to be
honestly,
clear, I'm
executive summary,
it.
All of us have to be reading it. I'm sorry, I'm talking over someone else.
I said just to be clear, Ram, I'm not volunteering because I'm going to review everything. This is John.
Understood, John. I'm expecting that that's what you'll be doing. I'm specific, you know, but I want to make sure that every section has a named reviewer on it or reviewers in addition to your sweep review. So executive summary review, put my name on it for sure. But honestly, that's something all of us need to spend time on. But we will do that only at the very end, I think. Then the next one was Eliza to Tomofumi.
And I put in the state, I sent an email on this last week, what I was able to discern from our recording.
So is there an action on Tomofumi here?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think I'm starting to recall what was mentioned about this, that the operational considerations is like whatever that is considered like common sense, like look at the ITIL documents, B3, how to run things. I think it was something related to that. So I need to write a paragraph regarding that.
Okay. So then that one, it has, then the owner should be switched. The owner should become Tomofumi. And who wants to review whatever Tomofumi is going to write?
I'm happy to do it.
System can have a mechanism to reject a query. That's Steve. What's Steve supposed to do with this one? Steve, do you recall what you're supposed to do with row 11?
No. No, I don't.
Regrettably, this is from a call I missed, so.
This is Elisa. I'm looking at the notes. All I have is that Steve was going to provide some language on this, but there was no discussion on in what section.
What's the section?
That's the problem. I don't know.
I see. I'll try to see. I can't commit, but I'll try to take a look at it and see what if there's anything comes back to mind.
Okay, got it. What about row number 12? Benedict, you already done this, right?
Well, no, Ram, this is Andy. I actually did that because
right.
I thought it was assigned to me. But if Benedict and Gavin want to review it, that would be great.
Okay, got it. So change owner to Andy, make reviewer Benedict and Gavin. Thanks.
So I had a I already had a hack at that, but I'm not terribly pleased with what I did. So Andy, please see if you can improve it.
Okay.
That's Benedict, by the way.
Row 13, we're good. Row 14, who wants to be a reviewer?
Scott here, I'll take that.
Thank you. Row 15.
And I haven't done anything on that yet as the editor.
Now, who has enough knowledge of EPDP in order to give you a good second pair of eyes, Benedict?
This is Jordy. I've been following that EPDP on and off. I'd be happy to try to review it.
Thanks, Jody.
All right. Row 16, we already have a reviewer. How about row 17?
And 16 is done, just FYI.
Okay, 16, you can make a note there, Elisa, that it's done. 17, that's an action for Benedict and Steve. The ownership of this is Benedict, review Steve. And number 18, I think, Gavin, you already wrote this. We just discussed this. So I think this one can be marked done, correct?
There's still more work to do, but obviously we can separately review any more changes I make.
Okay, then leave it as needs review and then put Andy as a reviewer, if you're okay with that, Andy. 19, I need to do this, and who wants to
review? I'm happy to review. This is Gavin, I can review.
20. Who wants to review 20? Scott, will you take 20?
Sure.
Thank you. 21. Andy, can you take 21? And row 22. Scott, can you take that?
I was just getting ready to bail, but I don't know what I'm volunteering for, but sure, give it to me.
I'm asking you to review 22, and I'm expecting 22, Gavin will be the author.
Okay, not a problem.
Thanks. Bye, Scott.
Yes.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Gavin, you okay with being the author?
Absolutely, yep, no problem.
Okay, lovely. 23, quantification of user satisfaction. Andy, we assigned 21 review to you, okay?
Yeah, that works.
Great, thank you. 23, quantification of user satisfaction. Murray.
Yeah, I can do it.
24, metadata, address and data retention consideration section.
We just reviewed that call, so I think you can say this is done.
Okay. Section 9, describe two components of the system web portal. I think we discussed that, but again, leave it that way. And then 10.8, leave it as that. Are there any other actions that we have missed? Okay, I hear none.
Sorry. I was going to say I took note of some actions, but they're all kind of related to what's already in the tracker, so I'll just make sure that it's clear based on the notes that I have here. And some of them are the proofreading and revising I'll be doing.
Okay, great. And Elisa, can I also assign to you or to your staff creating a table of contents for this document?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So, Ron?
Yes.
Ron, this is Andy. So I added lines 27 and 28 of the action items I wrote down for myself. I assume this is call 14. I really don't know what it is. But I went ahead and added those lines.
Okay, great. Thank you. I see that. I'm assigning, Gavin, if you're okay, I'm going to ask you to review both of those.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, folks. I think we are done for today. I look forward to seeing you next week. Now, there is one important item that we actually have done no work on at all, which is item 13 of the charter. So I don't know how we want to do it. Is it going to be a doodle poll, or we're just going to debate it in our meeting next week. I don't know, but I'm open for discussion. Not right now, but you know, email or whatever. We'll do that on the call, in person. Safe travels to those of you who are going to make it, and I look forward to seeing you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good one. Bye bye.
Bye all.
See you though.